You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Are you kidding me?
You are looking live.
Winning cures everything. Now for your hosts, Gary and Chris.
Welcome in. Winning Cures Everything Friday show. It's time to talk about some coaches. I'm Gary.
I'm Chris.
And we got a whole lot to discuss. Holy crap, do we have some big news drop in Starkville, Mississippi. We thought it was going to be Sark Vegas, and it ain't at all. It's not even close. The Pirate is coming down to Mississippi, and we're pretty excited about this, right?
Yeah, he's here.
He's here.
He has landed.
Did you see the video of him with the ringing the cowbell when he got off the plane?
Yeah.
He looked like he was holding a sword. It was fantastic. So, yeah, all of it was great. I was excited about it. So, it's a lot of fun. This is going to be a very fun rivalry. Let's go ahead and give you the rundown. Of course, winningcureseverything.com is the website. All of our picks, previews, podcasts, videos, social media platforms, everything is over there. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We are on YouTube. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button. Make sure you leave a comment. Tell us what you think about all these coaching moves and whatnot. We'd love to hear what you think. Also, if you're listening on the podcast, make sure you leave a nice review over at Apple Podcast, a 5-star written review. Leave something funny. Tell us what you think about the show. Leave some questions. We like to answer those, of course. We'll answer them on the show. The format will be, we're recording every Sunday night, Tuesday night, and Thursday night, so you will get a podcast, I believe, every day during the week. But we'll go on with that as we get through the football season. But we'll still have our picks and everything like that. But we'll kind of transition more into college basketball, etc. So, the show, as always, brought to you by Tunica, Mississippi, the South's premier sports gambling destination. They have got 6 incredible sports books. You can find more information on them, along with everything else that they've got going on down there, at tunicatravel.com. Let's go ahead and fire into this. I want to talk about everything that is going on. So the first one, before we get into the coaching roundup, Jake Fromm announced that he is leaving for the NFL draft. Do you think that this is a smart move for him?
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. It looks like he's going to have a new offensive coordinator again next year, maybe. And I just don't think that it's wise for, I don't know that his numbers are going to get any better. And I also don't know that Kirby's going to allow an OC to come in here and let him rip. So with that being said, absolutely. And then the other reason is I think he's the second best quarterback that's healthy and actually going to be able to compete for a starting job next year out of this draft. I like him better than Justin and Tua, we think, is going to have to sit out the entire year. Now, while Tua is going to probably go earlier and be a project, we don't know that for certain. I think Fromm is a hell of a talent. He gets in the combines. He competes at everything. he could impress some people, he could wow some people, and he could easily be the second quarterback taken in this draft.
Yeah, after his second season, everybody was talking about him being a first-round quarterback. It guaranteed he's going first round, all that kind of mess. And then you had this season when they switched OCs, and he can't afford to go through another season like that.
No, they got offensive linemen transferring out. Of course, the transfer didn't happen until after he decided to leave. Yeah. But they're going to end up having to run a third offensive system in his 3 years. I just think, man, I wouldn't trust my future in Kirby's hands. I just wouldn't. Not as a quarterback. Maybe as a defensive lineman, linebacker, secondary guy. Probably not as a quarterback.
I think I agree with you. DeAndre Swift has already announced he's gone. You're losing your best wide receiver in Cager, and you know Pickens looks promising, but if that's the only thing you have to work with, I mean, you do have other freshmen.
Pickens also got issues, man.
Yeah, no,
I mean, that's the other thing. How many games you trust him to be on the field for? Because that guy's got problems.
Yeah, he's got some. I mean, everybody saw him throw down with that Georgia Tech player.
And that was after coming off of a suspension already.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not like he was a choir boy up until then.
That's true. You got a valid point. All right. Now let's move into the coaching changes in college. Obviously what we led off the show with, let's talk about Mike Leach going to Starkville. Now I wrote an article 2 years ago and we discussed it with Gary Parrish, et cetera, where I said that, you know, Mike Leach would never get one of these big jobs. And I think I put in there that he would not get an SEC job. And obviously I was wrong about that. Now I am excited that I was wrong. But I think it took a whole lot of things going wrong for Mississippi State to get to this point. Now, it shouldn't have. There's no reason that this job should have gone to Joe Judge before it went to Mike Leach. There's no reason that it should have gone to Billy Napier before it went to Mike Leach. I think it's a fantastic hire for a program that will always be considered under the top four teams in this division, right? You've got Auburn, Alabama, LSU, and Texas A&M that are always going to spend more money, et cetera.
And not just more money, but
they've got
$100 million more than State's going to spend.
Right. And on top of that, Mississippi State is the closest of any university to Alabama. They are 80 miles away from Tuscaloosa, so they will always be in that shadow, and you had to do something. Like, the situation was dire at this point. You've got Lane Kiffin, who is stirring up all of this excitement in Oxford, and how funny is it that all of this comes from a guy fake peeing in an end zone, right? Like, it's just so many things happen because of that one play, and it's not all because of that. But that's what kind of got everything in motion. And as far as a hire goes, I mean, this is a home run. You want to talk about stirring up excitement in a fan base? They already, before they even took off on the plane, had Mike Leach record a message to go out and robocall all of their donors and get them to start piling up money. And it's working. Season tickets are going on sale soon. Like, they are, donations are already up a bunch, and they hadn't even had the press conference yet. So this was a fantastic move. Hats off to John Cohen. I mean, we'll see if it works. You know,
I mean, it's so ridiculous that he has fallen into this. I'm excited about it. You know, I love Leach. I think he's a top five college football coach in the game. And I don't know that he's ever gotten the true accolades because he's always at these smaller schools. Mississippi State is not Washington State or Texas Tech, but it's pretty damn close to it in comparison to the rest of the conference.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, you go from Lubbock to Pullman to Starkville. They're all pretty similar.
Yeah. I mean, Starkville's a hell of a lot bigger than those other two places.
Agreed, but only because of where it is, right?
That's right. In the SEC. He's never been in an area where he could walk outside and get local Mississippi talent. I know Texas talent is big, but Texas talent has every school in the world trying to grab it, and Mississippi talent just doesn't have that.
And he was in Lubbock. It was on
the other side. He was in the toilet of the state.
Yeah.
It's when it comes to academic institutions and where people want to spend their college years. Now, a lot of that has changed, by the way. Yes. I mean, people, you can recruit Texas State. The world has gotten smaller since Leach was there. God, I mean, that was a decade ago. So, super excited about him because I believe in him and I have been a worshiper and a follower of him. There's no coach that I love in college football as we stand right now outside of one, Lester Miles and Edward Orgeron, that I love more than Mike Leach. That has been abundantly clear. And I've made it clear, if you want my fandom, if you want my support, if you want all of me, you hire Leach and you get all of it. And Starkville did it. Not that they did it to get me, but they should. They should be excited about that because they used to shit all over them. And now I'll stop doing that. I'll take a few more shots in the sense of, John Cohen, what are you doing? This is a guy that just doesn't have a plan. I think he wakes up every day and he thinks, what should I do today? Okay. And if that doesn't work, he's going to go to bed. He's not going to think about tomorrow. He's just going to wake up tomorrow and see what pea brain idea hits him. And I swear to God, it just happened to work out that he hit and he got lucky and he hit Pater. Because if you're going to go after a man like Leach, you don't even consider a man like Napier or Jeff Monken or all these other guys that you were interviewing, Sarkisian, and things of that nature until you have the answer from Leach.
There was something interesting Stephen Godfrey actually shared out earlier. Let's see. All right, so first off, he said, does anyone in Mississippi remember Ole Miss hired DJ Durkin this week? which is kind of funny. He said, by the way, this all ends with Gardner Minshew as Mississippi State's head coach one day. This was the most interesting part of this hire. Multiple sources confirmed MSU and some other P5 schools this cycle were assisted by a third-party firm that measured social media reaction to rumored and leaked candidates. Leach scored high positive. God bless college football. If that has anything to do with why you are hiring a coach, you got problems. Now, obviously, you want to excite the fan base, but your social media following is such a small, small pinprick of what your actual fan base is.
Like I said, their process is so flawed, and he still struck gold.
Do you think Ole Miss used that same process?
No, I don't at all, actually. I
wonder if maybe they did because of the excitement that Kiffin brought.
No, like, I disagree with that. And the reason Kiffin brings a little bit of baggage with him and stuff of that nature. Leach brings none of that.
Agree. Well, so it's not baggage per se. But there are some issues. There's some red flags that...
There are no issues and there are no red flags, Gary.
There is a reason why Mississippi State went after Joe Judge and Billy Napier before they ever went to Mike Leach. There's a reason Arkansas hired Sam
because the
Pittman.
Person that handled these things are not, he doesn't have a plan. He's not good at it. He's just not good at his job.
Okay, so when I say red flags, I mean red flags for the administrators, for these people that are making the decisions.
Those people are wrong. Those people are wrong if they see that as a red flag.
They've always been wrong, but you and I have talked about this in the past, and yes, they are typically wrong about these things. So it is what it is, but looking at it from that side, that's how we get to this point, to where Leach is kind of a last-ditch effort to get everybody excited. Now, I will say this. He has done things at Texas Tech and at Washington State that have not been done before. Now, obviously, Washington State has been to Rose Bowls, et cetera, et cetera. What I'm curious about with this, can his staff recruit? Like, I'm curious who he's going to put on his staff. He's going to get some high school guys, high school coaches and whatnot to come in, and he's got to get some guys that are familiar with the area. But on top of that, they may not be good for a couple of years. This roster is not built for what he wants to do, so I'm hoping that State fans are much more patient with him than they were with Moorhead, because we saw the vitriol from the fans just after year one, and it was all on Moorhead. It was his fault. But if you see this moving in a direction where, you know, if they only win four games next year, something like that.
This is not going to happen.
I mean, he went 3-9 at Washington State. Like, they're losing a lot of talent this year.
Gary, you work under the assumption that he always recruits like everybody else, and he's just going to go out there and get a bunch of freshmen. They're all going to be real young next year, and they're not going to be good. That's not how Mike Leach builds a team ever. Every year he goes to JUCOs, and he just gets transfer kids. Every year, that's the star portion of his programs. He just goes to JUCO. You think the quarterback on the roster that got his face broken is going to be his starting quarterback next year? No. Because I do not. I do not. Actually, I think there's some JUCO kid out there that's going to get a call tomorrow, and his ass is going to be in startable in the next week or two.
So Bruce Feldman actually said something about that. So the guy that is playing quarterback for Mississippi State next year, like the freshman, Will Rogers. He arrived.
Is this the kid that got his face broken?
No. That's Garrett.
This is the kid that played in the bowl game?
No, Tommy Stevens was a senior. He's gone. This is a true freshman. He's a brand new recruit.
He'll be a freshman.
Yeah, freshman quarterback Will Rogers arrived on campus the day after Joe Moorhead was fired. Now gets to play in the system that was literally built for him. His dad, Wyatt, coached Gardner Minshew, and Leach was the only Power 5 coach besides Mississippi State to offer him. Pretty interesting, huh?
Yeah.
So it might take a little bit because the rest of the roster is not built for what he wants to do. But I think he will get there.
I think so much of what he does is scheme. None of those guys are great talents at Washington State. There's a reason that nobody outside of Gardner went to the NFL. None of those guys are great talent.
No,
it's all scheme. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's all misdirection. And coaching just seems to not be able to catch up to it all the time.
No, I agree with you. I agree. Let's see.
And the day of great defenses in the SEC have kind of gone the way of the dodo.
Now you're right.
I mean, LSU and Alabama were the powerhouse defensive and Auburn were the powerhouse defensive programs in this side of the field. Auburn is still trying to play that way as we currently speak. But the other two, yes, they have good defenses, but they're trying to hang 50 just like Leach is going to try and do.
Now you're 100% right about that. I'm looking at Texas Tech. The guy that coached at Texas Tech before Leach was, I think, Spike Dykes, if I can find it. Texas Tech was built a lot like State was, and Leach came in and immediately started winning there. He went 7-6, 7-5, then had his first 9-win season in 2002. But at Washington State, he went 3-9 his first year, 6-7 his second year, 3-9 his third year, and then it was 9-4, 8-5, 9-4, 11-2. And this year was a 6-7 season. And I wish I could find it. I know
he was also a much younger coach. I mean, Jesus, how far ago was that? That was 15 years ago, Gary.
At Texas Tech, I mean, he started in 2000 at Texas Tech. So that was
all right, that was 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He came in and started winning immediately. So Spike Dykes, was let's see, he went 9-3 at Texas Tech in 95, then 7-5, 6-5, 7-5, 6-5, and then Leach went 7-6, 7-5, 9-5, 8-5, 8-4, blah, 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 blah. All the way up until 2008 when he had Crabtree and whatnot, and they got ranked all the way up to number one. But he could win right off the bat, but
I'm not saying he's going to win the West, okay?
No.
I'm just saying, if he wins four games, that's a failure, and I don't foresee that.
I am curious about the schedule.
I mean, you think Arkansas is going to wake up tomorrow and just be a great program?
No. But
that schedule works out pretty damn well for them next year. I mean, six wins is kind of easy.
All right, so here's what they have next year. They have New Mexico, all right, so 1-0, at North Carolina State. Yeah, we'll say 2-0. Arkansas, 3-0. Then you've got Tulane at home, which
that'll be a tough one.
Could be interesting. You've got Texas A&M at home. You've got at Alabama, at LSU, Auburn, Missouri, at Kentucky, Alabama A&M, and at Ole Miss.
So that's six wins right there, easily. And I had them losing to Tulane. They're beating Missouri.
If you get those first three.
They're beating Kentucky unless Kentucky drastically does something at the quarterback position.
And then you got Alabama A&M, and that would be six, I guess. So Okay.
So that's having them lose the Iron Bowl, the Egg Bowl, and still with six wins, I think. And that's with losing the Tulane game. So if they win Tulane and they lose Kentucky, they still got six wins.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I could see it. Now, I could also see the North Carolina State game going sideways. Obviously, Tulane could
but
be
all
tough.
Of those games aren't going to go sideways. Yes, I could see some of them, but they're not going to lose them all.
I mean, at Kentucky could be interesting. And then, you know, I don't know what Missouri's going to be like. I couldn't
Missouri's
going
to be trash. What are you talking about?
I mean, you're probably right. I just don't know anything about Eli Drinkwitz, but I also don't know what Leach is going to do at Mississippi State. So I'll go in and
give
him
that.
Yes, you
do. You know exactly what that's the thing, Gary. You're just saying things, but they don't make sense. You know exactly. What do you mean you don't know what he's going to do? He's going to do the same thing he did the last two places. He's going to have a high flying offense.
Yeah, but it takes a little bit of time to be able to build that. Like State's roster is not built for the air raid.
We just disagree. I think you can pass any time. I think it takes a lot of time to learn to run the ball. But I think it takes years to develop a run game. But anybody with great scheme can go find wide receivers and fast running backs, which State's got probably on the roster somewhere. And those guys can catch the ball and learn the route tree. And that's all it is. That's all it is.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I would like
you
to
mean
be
to
wrong.
Tell me the talent that he has at Mississippi State currently, right now, if they don't recruit anybody else, bring in no other transfers, is worse than Washington State?
No, not even close.
Okay,
not even close. I mean, right. Washington State was on average either,
and
the
they were
next
able
to
run this
last.
Offense, right? Yeah. They had cape guys, and these guys didn't fit his scheme. They were just guys that were just trying to make a D1 college football team,
right? But it, again. I mean, he started 3-9 his first year, 6-7 his next year.
That's because Washington State was terrible.
I understand that, but either way, I'm just saying it could take a little bit of time. Do you think State fans would be happy with 6-6?
Yeah, oh yeah, I think they'd be thrilled with 6-6. Why would they not?
Well, I mean, they weren't this year.
Hang on, you just said you thought that he would win four games, and told them they need to be calmed down. I think they'll win six games easy. It's easily win six games, and you think they won't be happy with that. Wait a minute. We're having two different conversations. I don't understand what we're talking about.
And now you've got me confused. I don't know what we're talking about either. Look,
I mean, because you're saying two different things, but you're contradicting yourself. I'm not following your logic, and maybe it's me. Maybe everybody else listening totally understands what the hell you're saying.
There is no logic involved in this. I'm saying he could come out of the gate and only win four games, and I hope that State fans are okay with that. If he wins six, that is magnificent, because I think it's going to take time to build this roster in his, like, in the way that he wants it built. Like, that's all I'm saying.
Well, yeah, they're not going to be perfect, but can they run his offense? Yeah. There's no question on earth they can learn the air raid, because I don't think it's a complex offense. I think its simplicity is one of its greatest things.
You might be right. You might be right. Let's go ahead and move on to some of these other ones. We spent 16 minutes on that one. Let's talk about Rocky Long stepping down at San Diego State for about 2 seconds here. Brady Hoke, here's what Brady Hoke did. Since he was last at San Diego State. All right, he was only there for 2 years. He went 9-4 in 2010 and then left immediately for Michigan. After that, he was fired at Michigan in 2014. He was unemployed in 2015. 2016, he was fired as Oregon's defensive coordinator. 2017, fired as Tennessee's defensive line coach. 2018, fired by the Carolina Panthers. And then he was back as a defensive line coach at the school where he second coached, because he started at Ball State. I don't know about this one. I hate to see Rocky Long leave, but he is shooting for it, and he's like 68 years old, 60, something like that, and decided that he didn't want the administration at San Diego State to get involved in his business and tell him how to run his program, because they wanted him to make offensive staff changes. He didn't want to fire anybody, so he just quit, and now he's reaching out to be a Power 5 defensive coordinator, where he will actually make more money than he was making this year, which was less than $900,000. It's pretty crazy to think about. So San Diego State, going to be interesting over the next little bit. Fresno State hired Kalen DeBoer. DeBoer was Jeff Tedford's first offensive coordinator there. not this past year, but the year before. And then he went to Indiana, completely turned Indiana's offense around, and now he's coming back as Fresno's head coach. Boston College hired Jeff Hafley, called this one. The AD has Ohio State ties. This was the guy. Like we talked about this on the last time that we did this. Memphis, we haven't talked about them since, but Ryan Silverfield is the guy. He hired Mike McIntyre as his defensive coordinator. They get Brady White back. They get DeMonte Coxey back. Great recruiter, player support. He's never been a coordinator, though. What do you think about him? What do you think about Mike McIntyre coming in?
Mike McIntyre is a grown-up in the room that'll help. That could help him with any issues that he has being a first-time head coach. So we'll see. I mean, the players do love him. Man, that only goes so far. At some point in time, you have to be able to out-coach the other guys, or you have to be able to out-recruit the other guys. And I think he can
out-recruit. Getting McIntyre in there is big.
I completely agree that McIntyre is a massive hire. But I worry about this one. I think the administration went 2 for 2, hitting with Fuente putting the program on the map, and then hitting with Norvell. And then, you know, I don't know that the train continues to run. Now, are they going to be good? I think they'll still be good. I think they'll still be exciting. But are they going to compete for the American anymore? Man, I don't think so. I think UCF is still really good. I think Cincinnati, as long as Luke Fickell is there, is going to be something to reckon with. I think Houston, Dana Holgorsen is not going to stay down long. They're going to be just fine and tough to deal with. And as long as Willie Fritz and Will Hall stay down in Tulane. Now, Will Hall got a couple of OC calls recently. As long as those guys stay down there, then Tulane's going to be something to deal with. And I think Memphis, everybody else is going a little forward. I think Memphis might have taken a step back.
So I know Memphis wanted to, they were using continuity as the reason they were making this hire. I don't know if you can do that anymore.
I hate that concept, man. I really do. Like we see all the time, like kids get all pissed off whenever somebody gets fired. And like half of Ole Miss's team was like, I'm quitting. I want to go to the transfer portal right now. The day that Matt Luke was fired. And then they bring in Lane Kiffin and everybody's like, oh, go, man, I guess I'll stay. I guess I'll stick around. Oh, you guess you will, because they brought in somebody that's 1,000 times better than the guy they left. Yeah. Come on, man. Like, I know you like the guy, but we're not here to be friends. We're here to try to win college football games, okay? Yeah. Stop being an idiot. This is why you don't let 18-year-old kids, 19, 20-year-old kids make decisions for your program.
Well, it's like Arizona almost hired Ken Niumatalolo just a couple of years ago. And Khalil Tate is the one that tweeted out, like, I didn't come to Arizona to run triple option.
Yep.
And so they nixed the hire. It's like, what are you doing? Like, I mean, it makes no sense. It makes no sense. Colorado State hired Steve Adazio. We haven't commented on this one, I don't believe. Not a great track record of success. I mean, he did pretty well at Boston College.
What are you talking about? He had a pretty good record at Boston College, considering he was at Boston College.
Yeah, he never won more than 7 games, and he only did that a couple of times.
You go up to BC and win 7 games, Gary.
All I'm saying is his overall record is not stupendous, right? However, the other side of this is, look, there's a reason why he got fired, right? So, I mean, I'm not crazy here.
Because they want to be bigger than they think they are. That's the problem.
I do agree with that.
But that has nothing to do with what they do. And the overall record stuff has to stop. People who are like, Greg Schiano's overall record is, he's the winningest coach in Rutgers history. He took him to an Orange Bowl. Yes, it took him 3 or 4 years to do it. They were terrible. But then once he got him on the train, he got him going. Adazio took over a mess. Yes, he lost a whole lot of games when he first got there.
Yeah.
Then he got him winning. And winning 7 games a year at BC is a hell of a run. A hell of a run.
The fact that he got this team to win 6 games was pretty outstanding. I don't believe he should have been fired.
I think he's a difficult guy to deal with, and I understand that. And so maybe the administration didn't want to deal with that. I get that, man. I don't know why they fired the guy. Okay,
I agree. But so here's why I brought this up. Here's why I brought this up. So Colorado State hires him. He has no, no coaching experience west of Indiana, right? How funny is it that Urban Meyer was the one sitting in those meetings and Adazio was the one that ends up getting the job?
Well, yeah, we knew that was going to happen. It was going to be an Urban guy.
Oh, yeah.
You hire Urban, he's gonna place his friend. That's all he does.
Oh, 100%.
No, I don't hate the hire, though, by the way. I mean, no, I think Adazio's a good guy. And the idea that he's never coached west of Indiana, what does that mean, Gary?
So some of these jobs are very
Mike Leach has never coached anywhere. Yeah, I guess he has been in Kentucky. But anyway, go on. I
mean,
go on.
He coached at Valdosta. Leach has been all over the place. But yeah, the Adazio hire, like, you know me. I've said it a billion times. If he's a star, he's a star. Like, P.J. Fleck had not coached at Minnesota. Like anywhere close to Minnesota before. So, you know, is what it is. I think.
But you're Colorado State. You're not getting a star. You're trying to get, if you want a star, then you're hiring a young guy that nobody knows about.
See, that's,
and you're hoping you hit Pater with them. But if you want an adult in the room that can bring stability to your program and not in an embarrassment every year, then you hire a guy like Adazio.
Yeah.
And so they chose to say, we would like an adult in the room because hiring the young, unproven person is not working for us.
Off of that, FAU hired Willie Taggart, another retread coach. Taggart couldn't really recruit to Florida State. He had major problems doing that for whatever reason. It made no sense to me. So the question is, will he be able to recruit to FAU? I think that he will. But the biggest thing here is Florida Atlantic has shown that they want the name. They want the name that people are going to be interested in. They are going to check Florida Atlantic scores to see how this guy's doing, and they got it. Do you
think? If you think people are going to wake up on Sunday morning to see how Willie Taggart did.
Who else in this recruiting or in this coaching cycle was going to bring that?
Well, nobody, but I think a young, unproven coach would have possibly brought that in a couple of months.
I mean, if he wins right out of the gate, but
you brought back a guy that nobody is excited about or thinking about outside of people in Florida or around that program or in that conference.
Yeah.
I mean, not one person outside of that conference is going to give one thought about FIU or FAU.
You might be right. I think that the national media will be kind of watching this to see if he's able to be successful there.
Now, if he wins five games in a row, then yeah, people will start paying attention. But if he starts out 3-2, nobody will know that he's existed in 6 months. He will be forgotten in all of college football.
You might be right. You might be right.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
You ready to move into the NFL?
Yep.
Let's do that. Let's see. 31 minutes, 36 seconds. I keep writing these times down. Let's start off with the Cowboys. They fire Jason Garrett. They hire former Packers head coach Mike McCarthy. When all the dust settled, I think this ended up being a pretty good hire. He's got good experience. I don't think that he was the problem in Green Bay. And the fact that he has sat out for a year, studied the new trends, the things that are working in the NFL and whatnot, didn't go grab a job with a TV network, something like that. He actually worked on what he was doing. I think this could work out. I mean, behind Bill Belichick, it's McCarthy and John Harbaugh have the second most, like they're tied for 10 playoff wins. That's a pretty big deal. If you want to say that he underachieved with Aaron Rodgers, okay. But nobody else has done any better with any of the other ones, Drew Brees or any other quarterback. So I think this was a good hire. If you wanted a guy with experience that can take the team that you've got and take them to a Super Bowl quickly, which is what Jerry Jones wants, you don't go out and get the unproven commodity, which would be Lincoln Riley, whatever. You go out and get the guy that's been there. I think it's a good move.
It's okay. I don't hate it, but I don't know that it's going to be great.
I don't know that it's going to be great. Looking at it from the Jerry Jones perspective, and from, you know, I've got several friends that are, who doesn't have friends that are Cowboys fans? I think when everything finally calmed down, at first it was, oh God, what are we doing? Like, they do this all the time, da 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 da. And then, of course, once the hiring cycle kind of slows down and gets done, it's like, okay, like, you could go out and get Eric Bieniemy. You could go out and get, you know, whoever. You could get Josh McDaniels. And you don't really know what you're going to get. With this, you kind of have an idea. And, you know, I think a big part of this is Jerry can still run that program, right?
Like, yes, he's got another yes man. He's got somebody that's not going to get in his way, that's not going to care that Jerry's press conference is longer than his, all of that stuff.
Do we know anything about, so I know he's bringing Mike Nolan with him. Have we figured out anything on the offensive coordinator front?
They're keeping what they got.
Okay, so Kellen Moore decided to stay there instead of going to Washington.
Well, now I don't know if Kellen Moore decided that. I know they were trying to to decide to stay there.
All right, so that looks like it's going to be the next thing, but this will be McCarthy's offense. And so, next up, the Panthers fired Ron Rivera. They hired Matt Rhule. Did you see his press conference?
A little bit.
Holy mackerel, this was phenomenal. The video of him talking about why he left Baylor for the Panthers. I wanted to move to the NFL. I love this football. It's the greatest sport on earth. It's all these individuals coming together as a team, as brothers. Man, I was ready to run through a brick wall right there just watching the press conference.
He's an outstanding coach. I mean, he is an outstanding coach. I love the guy. I absolutely love the guy.
I don't know that the Panthers.
I mean, he was up there like just under Leach as just a coach that I just loved.
Tepper giving him the contract that he did, he had to pay him that one because Baylor was paying him just astronomical money. But I think it's worth it. Like, you get a guy that is a developer of young men, and I think this is definitely good for them. I mean, he didn't give him a chance to go to the Giants, really. Now, I mean, there's conflicting reports about did Rhule call the Giants and give them a chance to match the offer, and the Giants said no.
I think the Giants tried to hire his staff the way the Jets tried to hire his staff.
I could believe that. I could believe
because that. There are reports already out that the Giants are trying to hire the staff for Judge, which we'll get to next, I'm sure, but.
Matt Rhule is a guy, so he started out linebackers coach at Albright, defensive line coach at Buffalo, defensive line coach at UCLA, special teams and linebackers coach at Western Carolina, associate head coach, special teams linebackers coach at Western Carolina. He was the running game coordinator there as well in the next season in 2005. 2006, he goes to Temple as a D-line coach, And then in 2007, he moves from D-line coach to quarterback's coach and recruiting coordinator. And then he moves to the offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach. And then he was the offensive coordinator, tight ends coach, and recruiting coordinator at Temple before he took an assistant offensive line job with the Giants. And then he became the head coach of Temple and then Baylor, and now he's with the Panthers. He's been everywhere and done everything. But imagine a college football program today moving their defensive line coach to be their quarterback's coach. And all he had ever coached before that, really, was defense. And they move him to quarterback's coach. That is...
You always hire the smartest guy in the room.
Oh, yeah.
To do the hardest job. And if you knew that this guy is smarter than everybody else in here, he can figure it out. I can find any D-line coach off of any tree.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it just tells you the level of his intelligence and the respect that he has from the people that he works with and what they think of his intelligence.
I think that this is a home run.
Yeah, I do too.
We could be proven wrong, but I seriously doubt it.
I mean, it's going to come down. He's got to have a trigger man in the NFL. This is not college where you can take an okay quarterback, put him in a weird scheme, and hope that you can outsmart everybody with smoke and mirrors. The NFL didn't get outsmarted with smoke and mirrors. You have to have a trigger man.
Now, you are 100% right about that. The Redskins, speaking of trigger men, they fired Jay Gruden after week 5. They end up hiring Ron Rivera. I think smart move. I think Ron Rivera is a really good coach, and he will be able to figure out what to do with this defense. I think he will get that entire organization put together. Bruce Allen is no longer running the show there. This is going to be interesting to see what he like if he can turn around the Redskins, because they have been a doormat for years now, right?
Now you want to talk about a guy that just needed an adult in the room, and hopefully this is strong. I mean, it seems Dan Snyder has said you're the guy. They don't have a GM right now. Rivera is going to hire the GM, and they are going to work together to put together the 53-man roster, and Rivera will have all say in the 46-man roster. It's just one of those situations where Dan has seemingly given all of power and influence to Ron. Now, that's something that he's done in the past and then taken it back really quickly. But I think drastic improvements are going to happen because of this hire. I think they could get good fast, really, really fast with this. Brought in Jack Del Rio to run the defense. Jack Del Rio's a former NFL head coach, not a bad head coach, also a guy I like a lot, and I think a really good football coach. So I think we've got a couple of old-school good football guys in the room, but they're also pretty smart guys, and their players worship them. They need that because right now they got a lot of players that don't want anything to do with that program.
No, you're right about that. The Giants fired Pat Shurmur. They hire Joe Judge, New England wide receivers coach and special teams coordinator. How can you sell me on this?
Yeah, you can't.
Okay.
You can't.
And listen, they're keeping
Gettleman. This guy was the wide receivers coach for the Patriots for the last 2 years, okay? For the last 2 years.
You know what he told Gettleman? Did you see the interview with Gettleman? Where Gettleman said that they knew they were hiring him because he told them his philosophy is to, and I quote, run the ball and stop the run. And that builds a physical team. How is that how you ace your interview? Go ahead. I'm sorry. I had to throw that in.
This guy was the receivers coach at New England for the last 2 years. And I watch every snap of every Patriots game for the last 17 years, 15 years, something of that nature. And I'm going to tell you, our wide receivers haven't looked worse in the 20-year run that I've been watching the Patriots, 25-year run, than they look right now. They don't know how to run the routes. They're in the wrong spot all the time. They don't seem to be working really hard to be where they're at. This guy was on John Cohen's list, and he wanted him over Mike Leach because he's a Mississippi State guy. I just don't understand this. I just don't know why people wanted to hire this guy for a job. Do they just think because he worked in the same room as Bill that Bill's just genius just rubbed off on him, like his stink? I don't get that. I just don't understand this. But I also don't think a whole lot of Dave Gettleman at all.
Oh no,
I mean, I don't think this guy knows what the hell he's doing.
No.
Now, I don't think Gettleman made this hire, to be honest. I think the ownership made the hire. And maybe Judge is a hell of a guy. And maybe he'll work out to be a really good coach. But I know this. They're bringing in Jason Garrett, and they're bringing in Freddie Kitchens to interview for offensive coordinator jobs. Okay? And Garrett hasn't touched an offense in 10 years. Garrett would be light years ahead of anything positive that Freddie Kitchens could bring to this program.
I agree.
This is a shit show.
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
They're turning into the Jets. It's just like, who can be a bigger disaster in the state of New York right now, in the city of New York?
Here is Joe Judge's resume. He was a grad assistant at Mississippi State from 05 to 07. 05 is when he worked with Freddie Kitchens at Mississippi State. Kitchens was, I believe, a tight ends coach at that point. He moved on to be a linebackers coach for Birmingham Southern in 2008. He was a special teams assistant, not even on the field, at Alabama in 2009 through 2011. Got two rings there, went to be a special teams assistant with the New England Patriots in 2012 to 2014. He was the special teams coordinator from 2015 through 2018. He was the special teams coordinator and wide receivers coach in 2019. And now he is the head coach of the New York Giants. I mean, he must have wowed somebody in that room, because I don't see how this qualifies him to be a head coach.
Pat Shurmur is so much a better football coach than this guy. Not that Pat Shurmur is great, but Pat Shurmur's been doing this for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Now, you brought up Kitchens. The Browns fired him, and... Where do they go now? Do you?
Well, they get the pick of the litter because they're the only job left.
Yeah, that's what I'm curious about. I haven't seen a whole lot about it. They seem to be saying quiet.
If I had a hierarchy of who they want, I had a list earlier.
Do you think that they're waiting around for the Ravens to get done this weekend? But like maybe if they're hiring Greg Roman. Or something like that. Is that why it got quiet?
No. They're interviewing all these guys. Okay. I think Josh McDaniels is probably one. I think Jim Schwartz is probably two.
Would Jim Schwartz work?
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't mind Jim Schwartz. I wouldn't mind Jim Schwartz.
He, where did he coach before? Did he coach the Lions?
Yeah, he was at the Lions. They've interviewed Brian Daboll. Man, I don't know that I would hate that. I think really? Brian's a really smart coach, and he's going to come. He's obviously doesn't have the pedigree that Josh and Schwartz have, but I wouldn't hate him at all. I think he's proven that he is. Well, what I like about him is he's flexible. Okay. Yeah. He doesn't care what the roster looks like. He's going to make an offense to what he's got. All right. He's a lot like Greg Roman in the sense of, oh, these are the players I got. We got to change the offense. Oh, now these are the players I got because somebody went hurt or somebody left in free agency or a trade or whatever. All right. Now I got to revamp the offense again. But he's adaptable. He's flexible. He's not stuck in this rigid way of how to do things. I think that is true genius, by the way. I don't think somebody who has a set pattern and a set method of doing things and they can only do things in that specific way is always the right genius. I think the guy that's the most flexible and can do anything with anybody and just get positivity out of it is the best thing.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes sense.
So, and it wouldn't be, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they're waiting to interview Roman. He's obviously going to be on a list of coaches. If it's not this year, it'll be next year. It's just a matter of, do they want to make a decision before then or not? And then who wants this job? That's the biggest thing is would Jim Schwartz leave Philadelphia for this job? Like, there was a report out that Josh McDaniels said Cleveland's actually his dream job. Now, a lot of coaches, and that Josh might be one of them, there's a small Catholic college called John Carroll, I think.
Yeah, John Carroll and, High School, but
No, there's a John Carroll. I'm pretty sure it's John Carroll, and it's in Cleveland, and I have some really good friends that went there, and it's surprisingly like the coaching mecca, like Don Shula, like seven Hall of Fame coaches all came from there. Okay, so it's kind of weird that this little private school in Cleveland is where like some of the best coaches in the world have ever come from. I think Josh McDaniels might have went to school there. I could have just made that up, but I thought his name was on the list of coaches that came from there. If that's true, then Cleveland very well could be his dream job. I don't know that working for the Haslams after working for the Crafts is going to be something I'd want to do, but maybe he's strong enough. Maybe he's got the pedigree to walk in the door. And he's the only one out of the list of guys, by the way, that would have the pedigree to walk in and say, if you want me, you get me. But yeah, you get me in my system, and we're going to do things my way. And I'm just going to need a little bit of room. I want you to hire me. I want this job, but I want room to do this job my way. Now, I'll keep you guys in the loop, and me and the analytics department and the personnel department, we'll all talk. But at the end of the day, the 46-man roster is mine.
Yeah, okay.
I think that would probably be, if I was the Browns, that would be the biggest holdup, because they want somebody who's going to want to work with them, because they want to be very hands-on with all the decisions of everything. And I just don't know that you're going to find many coaches to do that. Now, if you're a first-time head coach, if you're a Brian Daboll, then yeah, you'd probably take those options, because it's one of 32 jobs.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. You're Don Shula, Greg Roman, Josh McDaniels, all...
Oh, Josh McDaniels was on there. Okay. Yeah, I thought he was one. There's several more, and there's like past coaches, right?
It was surprising that Greg Roman was on there. Yeah. I haven't found a whole lot about like Hall of Fame coaches and whatnot yet. Yeah. But
it's probably a weird search to find, but anyway.
See. Oh, I see Tom Arth. Let's see, David Caldwell, London Fletcher.
Maybe it's not Hall of Famers then. Maybe it was just a bunch of NFL guys.
Brian Polian, Chris Polian. Let's see. John Shula, Tom Telesco, general manager of the Chargers.
Yep.
Ken O'Keefe, quarterbacks coach, University of Iowa. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot.
Just to be like some small Catholic college that has like, 1,700 students. Yeah, today, 1,700 students.
Yeah, that's... That
could be bigger than that, but I can't think it's much bigger than that.
No, it's tiny. It's tiny. Yeah. To wrap up this this go-round, how did Doug Marrone and Dan Quinn keep their jobs?
Well, Dan Quinn did really good at the end of the season.
Well, yeah, they went 7-9 overall, yeah, but he started 1-7 and then played just an awful schedule.
New Orleans, beat the hell out of the Saints.
Yeah, they did that, but then they got beat by the Saints at home later on. Like, it evened itself out as far as that goes. But everything else was wins over the Bucks. Now, they did get a big win over the 49ers. But
they beat the Saints and the 49ers at the end of the year. That's pretty good.
Yeah, but they went 1-7 to start. Like, I really thought that he was gone if they didn't make the playoffs this year. And yeah, he kind of won his way back in, but
is there anybody you'd rather have over him that's out of these list of coaches available looking for a job?
I mean, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I think I'd probably rather have Roman there.
A shot with a guy that's never been a head coach before in his life.
His only claim to fame
is coaching two very uniquely talented quarterbacks that Matt Ryan is not.
Well, three. Colin Kaepernick, Tyrod, and Lamar Jackson. But they're all very different than what Matt Ryan does. But look, give me Eric Bieniemy. Give me Josh McDaniels. Give me – like, you tell me McDaniels wouldn't go to Atlanta? I mean, I think that you take a shot with something else, because obviously this isn't working. They hired Dan Quinn because he's a defensive guy, and the defense has sucked every year. Like, it's not like it got better this year. They just scored more points than other teams. Like, it's good that they're scoring more points. I was just surprised that they kept him around again. It, obviously, I think this is the hot seat year. This is the make or break season. But, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. And about Maroney, I thought when they got rid of Coughlin a couple of weeks before the season was done, that was all she wrote for the rest of that staff. And they decided, Khan decided, we're going to wait and figure it out after this.
Yeah, that one did surprise me. That one actually, I'm shocked that he's still got a job, but I don't think he's a bad coach, and I could just be wrong about that. But I don't know if there's anything wrong with him. That roster is insanely flawed in the way that team has been built over the last several years. Coughlin, I thought Coughlin was a really good football man, and maybe he is, and maybe the game just passed him by, or maybe he just, I don't know, half-assed stroked out and didn't know what he was doing. But, I mean, he took a team that was pretty damn close to beating the Pats to go to a Super Bowl, and now that defense is a shell of itself. What happened? What'd he do?
You got me. I mean, I felt like it was coaching, but it's almost like the egos in the locker room got to be a little.
No, that's not coaching.
No. But that's partly coaching, because you got to be able to get everybody on the same level. Like, you can have all the talent in the world. You saw what happened with the Browns this year. So that's on the coach. Call me crazy. The coach has to maintain that stuff.
Yes, but they didn't have the talent that the Browns had. I mean, Freddie Kitchens is an idiot. I mean, he's just an idiot.
Yeah.
But Marone is obviously not an idiot. Marone's a sharp guy. Marone's a smart guy. And he's been around the league for a long time.
Yeah, he has. He has.
I mean, I think he can salvage this. I really do. I don't know that they win the division or compete for a wild card next year, but I like Jacksonville to be better. But they gotta come up with an offensive identity. I don't think they have one.
Nope.
And I think I would sell Foles, and I would build around
Minshew.
Minshew, Gardner, and at least see what you got in the kid. And build an offense around him and his skill set. And if it doesn't work, then you punt on it and you draft somebody next year.
Yeah.
But if it works, then you got a cheap quarterback for a couple of years that you can build around. But you got to get an offensive identity. They don't know what they want to be.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And that's the biggest problem they've got. A lot of that's falls on Coughlin, because they did know what they wanted to be before Coughlin got there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, the very year before he got there, they knew exactly what they wanted to be. Don't turn the ball over, Blake, and we can win every football game. Yep. I mean, we'll win the damn thing 6-0.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
And they 13-0, and we'll get turnovers, and that's how we'll score.
Yeah, 13-6, 13-7, whatever.
I mean, yeah, well, you know, and that was their identity, and it worked pretty well. And then Coughlin took over, made a couple of tweaks here, pissed off the wrong people there, and bada bing, bada boom, they got nothing. I mean, that defense is gone to garbage.
You are dead on.
You know what's weird, though? Jalen Ramsey left there. He isn't doing crap. He's getting torched in L.A.
Well, I mean, he was getting torched in Jacksonville, early this
season. Yeah, but I thought it was because he didn't want to be there.
Instead, he goes to the Rams. And
so now the Rams are out
first-round pick, all that.
They're out the first-round pick already. Now are you out the first-round pick, and you cut your nose off to spite your face, and you pay the man $20 million a year?
Didn't they sign him to an extension when they brought him out there?
I don't know that they signed him to the extension. I think they have to sign him to the extension or let him walk, and you just lost that first round pick for nothing. Now, I could be wrong. I haven't checked his contract or looked into that very closely. I just know he didn't play very well.
That's interesting. I'll have to double check on that. I don't know. But yeah, I don't know what the Rams would do. I mean, this is a bad spot.
They need to hire a GM, and they need somebody who's going to come in and have an offensive or a defense, have an identity for the team, not offensive or defensive, who's going to have an identity. And he's going to give the team an identity and say, this is what we want to be. This is who we are, and this is what we want to be. And build it that way. And the pieces you've got that fit that, you keep. The pieces you don't, you send down the road, and you get them.
He is, he is on contract with the Rams through next year. He's an unrestricted free agent in 2021.
So they didn't extend him then?
Hadn't extended him yet.
So they get a year and a half. They get 18 months out of him for the first round pick if they don't give him more money.
They owe him $13 million next year, and that is a cap hit of $13.7 million.
And there's a real chance if they don't extend him, then he won't play that. He'll just sit out.
Yeah, you're right.
And say, no thanks.
That's insane. That is so insane. All right. Anything else that you can think of?
No, this went longer than we thought. Let's go.
Yeah, it did. It did. But sometimes you're going to have that. A lot to discuss. WinningCuresEverything.com is the website. Go check it out. All of our podcasts, previews, picks, videos, social media platforms, etc. The show is brought to you by Tunica, Mississippi, the South's premier sports gambling destination. TunicaTravel.com is the website for more information. If there's nothing else, my brother, I will talk to you again on Sunday evening. Thanks for checking out Winning Cures Everything. If you want to keep up with us, hit subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app, visit the website at winningcureseverything.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us at Winning Cures, at Gary WCE, or at Chris B. Giannini on Twitter. Share out the show, leave a nice review, and make sure to comment and tweet at us.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.